Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up, the aliens, and a happy Thirsty Thursday to you. This is Miraz, the executive producer of the DA Show, sidekick on the DA Show. Heck, host a side B on the PGP on the DA Show. And more importantly, you might be more stunned to a news that here I am, still pumping out the best of the DA shows. And today, plenty more laughs, plenty more takes, and plenty more nonsense across the DA. Check it out here. The NFL yesterday, Bogus, before we cue up this cold open, cut the preseason to two games. And I don't know about you, but to me, this seemed like a no-brainer. This seemed like where we should be headed anyway, and it seemed like a smart move for the league. But this prompted panic and fury everywhere. Does this mean the NFL is not going to happen? Rodney Harrison spoke on this as well. It is where we begin. It's your cold open.
I'm sitting back last night talking to my wife, just sitting there thinking, like, how the heck are we going to even play football? If you think about the NFL and they say that the best interest of the players is to be safe, and you're doing everything to protect the players, I just don't know how you put the players back on the football field with this virus and not having a vaccine for it.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That's Rodney Harrison on Pro Football Talk, joining the gloom and doom crowd as far as it comes to an NFL season getting off. And let me just start with this, Andrew Bogus. The NFL cutting its preseason down to two had to happen for multiple reasons. Number one, we're already in the midst of virtual mini camps, virtual learning. Unless you're Tom Brady or you're Cam Newton slinging it around with Mohamed Sanu, ultimately, teams are not gathered together, which means when they hit training camp, it is almost going to be like a crash course. And as if dealing with COVID and the opportunity for positive tests throughout the season, which are going to come, is not going to be hard enough, we forget that regular injuries happen during football season, and the more preseason games you put out there, the more likely it is you may have positive tests, but you're also going to have injuries. And the NFL, you know, knowing they already deal with a loss of star power, a loss of key players enough, needs to limit that as much as possible, and I think going down to two games obviously provides that. Now, some may argue that this will be the last time we've ever seen the NFL have four preseason games. Maybe this will paint the future of two preseason games. I would actually argue the opposite. I think the real thing here and what you're learning is the reason we have four preseason games is to make sure each owner, because they only get eight home dates as it is for season ticket holders, gets the extra two for preseason. And they know with no fans coming in for the preseason that really if they're not collecting on the gate, and they're dealing with, you know, NBA and NHL postseason on top of a fast-paced Major League Baseball season. Really, the NFL, which wins the ratings wars always, without the regular season, we could do without NFL preseason games on our TVs and without coming in for the revenue and paying for season tickets. So there's no money to be made by the NFL with the preseason. So that obviously had to happen. Now, what Rodney Harrison discusses, obviously, the tackling and the sweating and the spitting and everything that goes with a football season questions how we could even have it. My counterpoint to this is always going to be, look, we have one or two options here. Either we shut everything down, including sports, and just wait for a vaccine and for medication for COVID, which a lot of people would be on board with. I would very much question how we could survive financially with that, but I understand you want to protect everybody at all costs. The other part of this, and you've heard Adam Silver say this, is we need to learn to live with the virus. The question is, do we really start cherry picking between sports, what can be played with the virus and what can't? I mean, for everything Rodney Harrison said, and I understand there is more contact, you still have the NBA where guys are rubbing up on each other underneath the glass. So I don't know if there's a right answer there. But I do know for the NFL, for the NBA, for the NHL, for Major League Baseball, as much as that could help the mental health of a lot of people, they are a business too. And they have major TV deals to provide. And they are going to do everything they can to try to play these games and not try to reside on the fact that, hey, you know, we could sit out and wait for a vaccine. And the truth is, who knows if one's even effective? And who knows if everybody is going to want to run and get it right away anyway? So cutting the preseason to two games, I think, was more of just a no-brainer more than an ominous sign. Bogus, where do you stand?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. First of all, we should point out, too, that this is not necessarily all done just yet, because the union, this is apparently is a significant enough change that the union has to, there's bargaining involved in this. The league just can't decide this, right. So the union's involved. And the players might not want to play any preseason games, because fewer games theoretically means less exposure to the virus. So we may have zero, let alone two. But so let me start with by saying this. The preseason in general is just a scam. The entirety of regular season prices for your ticket, for your parking, the whole thing is a scam. There certainly is value in the football games and getting reps and deciding a couple of things at the bottom of your roster, but we don't need four preseason games to get people ready to play week one of the football season, because no one plays four full preseason games anyway. We can see that by the way teams dole out playing time. They don't need four games to get everything checked off before we get to week one. But the specifics of this situation, I mean, I don't know how to look at it any differently than limiting exposure, limiting the chance of getting sick is the only way to go right now. And I understand all of the pushbacks in the other direction, and I know how many people, including us, whose jobs are connected to, you know, to sports and games happening. And I don't know what would happen to us if there's no football. We've knocked on wood. Our company has been fine to a certain extent, you know, all through this without anything happening just yet. I don't know what happens if we get to the fall and the cash cow of football isn't there. But, like, we also have to figure this out and fix it, because one bad year, even one horrible year in my head, makes much more sense and is much more palatable than like two or three crappy years. Like, at some point we need to get this out of our system, literally and figuratively. Like, your argument of, you know, living with the virus, like, there's a limit to that. Like, we can't live with it at its peak levels. Like, we can live with it in terms of someone somewhere might still get it, but then we have treatments for it and people have had vaccines and it takes time. Like, where it becomes a nuisance, but not an actual problem. We can't exist in the situation that's developing in certain places now, where we're again taxing the entire healthcare system, that we have doctors and nurses, you know, working triple shifts and going home exhausted and in tears because all they're dealing with is people who are super, super sick. Like, we can't have that going as well. So
I agree with that.
Like, I know there are businesses and there's across the board, whether it's restaurants, movie theaters, sports, but like, sometimes things have to get sacrificed, so to speak, to fix the bigger problem. And I don't, you know, to me, that still needs to be our directive right now. Like, we don't need a football season. No, great, but we don't need one. We need to get the country healthy again. And however many football games we have to lose because of that, like, I'm not going to necessarily complain about it.
855-212-4227. That number again is 855-212-4CBS. So the NFL attempting to cut the preseason, as Bogus said, the union's supposed to get involved, to two games. Is that an ominous sign that we are headed towards the idea of no football in the fall? I personally think the NFL will do everything it can to make sure it gets off. But to Bogus's greater point, there needs to be some kind of balance. And yes, would you rather just have the one worst year ever in exchange to make sure everything else is taken care of going forward? I think he brings up some good points. I don't know that there is a right answer right now, other than we need to protect people at all costs, including our NFL players. The only counterpoint I would make to that, Bogus, is, number one, I would say absolutely no fans under any circumstance. I know I read today that the Dolphins still think they can get some fans in there. And can everybody, with all due respect, and I know we're on a lot of good affiliates there, can everybody in Florida just sit one out for the next couple weeks? please? I mean, because we dealt with Bogus, as you know, really horrible situations in New York, and knock on wood, things are pretty good right now, all things considered. But I don't need to hear Florida sports owners and everybody in Florida pounding their chest right now as everything's in shutdown mode and those cases jump about fans coming in. So I don't think you could have fans come in. As far as the players go, you don't want to see any of them get sick, and you need to leave them all without. I think every player deserves that option not to play, even if the league plays. Just like I think every employee at a place of work that doesn't pay nearly as much as the NFL should also have some sort of option to not come back for fears of coronavirus as well, because everybody doesn't know everybody's life situation, at-home situation, vulnerable people in your life. So for those players that want to play who feel like they don't have anybody of that high risk around close to them, close enough in their life, great. I think we could have a league with that, and we figure it out, and I think you will have more than enough guys who want to come make their paycheck. I think thankfully, and I hope, you know, I can knock on wood when I say this, I try to say this as delicately as possible, the sad numbers and death toll in this country have not been the athletes between 20 to 40. And I think ultimately, as horrible as the virus is, and I don't want anybody to get sick, I do think Bogus, we want to protect death more than anything, right? I think we can agree with that. And if that, at least according to doctors and scientists, who obviously we should be following here, not your friend from high school who doesn't have a degree who's commenting on Facebook about masks, if they deem it and say, yeah, you know, we should have bubble plans, we should do this, we could play sports, that's who I'm going to follow the lead of and assume that the athletes, if they do get it, will ultimately be okay. At least you hope they're okay. And for me, I think that's a good sign that sports will happen.
Right, but I mean, even, and I, this is a bad term, but I can't think of another way to say it. Like, we can't also just boil this down to death rates, because it's not
sure
that simple. And now, I also don't think that we can just say, like, oh, well, you know, if it's grandma and grandpa, like, well, you know, like, shrug your shoulders. Like, that's not cool either.
No,
but
like, their lives matter. Yes, absolutely.
Right. A lot happens before you die with this virus. And we also don't know what's going to happen long term, because
sure,
as now we've had months to study it, now we see that it attacks different parts of your body. It can mess with your lungs, your heart, your liver. You know, like, it's not. And, you know, I've had friends who are in my age bracket who had it and are okay now, but it was terrible for them for
right,
a week or 2 weeks or a month. Like, I don't want that either. Like, I don't want, like, it's not like, oh, it's a cold, it's like, and some people lucky enough that they had it and didn't even know it. Like, there's an entire range of symptoms and effects here that you can't just dismiss. Yes, as you know, we've gotten to this point now where every athlete that's gotten it, as far as we know, has not had the worst of this, has any, you know, real severe complications. No one's been in the hospital, no one's been on a ventilator, no one has died, thank goodness. But that doesn't mean that, you know, 3 years from now something might be different inside their body, because
right,
again, this is doing a lot of different things than we knew it did weeks ago, months ago. So it's not as just simple as going, well, the death rate here is 0.002, because a lot can happen and mess up your life shy of the worst case scenario here too. So, you know, like, that's always been my pushback. Like, I don't want this, period. And plus, then if you bring it home, I've got two kids in the house, I've got my wife. Like, if
right,
what if me and my wife were sick? What do I do with my kids then? Because do they then take whatever germs we have to my in-laws or my mom and my dad, who are clearly in the risk factor age groups? So, like,
right, the
trickle, like, there's
down
a
effect,
lot of
right,
things in play here that you can't just say, well, I'm not going to die because I'm 28 and healthy, so let me see what I'm going to, like, let me just risk it. It can't keep working like that either.
Very, very interesting situation for the NFL, and there's a lot of arguments on both sides, but they've took their first step towards less football, at least it's in the preseason. I won't miss it. I'm sure Bogus won't miss it if we cut this down to two. There's plenty of other stuff we can keep occupied on, but the NFL regular season, is it an ominous sign? Rodney Harrison has some real issues with that. And all bets are off. The summer's a little different, but one thing that will go on, Andrew Bogus, is the Nathan's 4th of July hot dog eating contest. It will look a little different this year. We will not be at the corner of Surf and Stillwell, unfortunately. There will be no spray zone. We will have a private location with COVID-19 safety measures in place. And obviously, this will be a big deal still on TV. It'll be noon Eastern on ESPN. Our personal favorite guy on the DA show in Major League Eating is Eric Badlands Booker. Badlands, for those of you maybe just tuning in, maybe still newer to the show in this time slot, Badlands has a place in DA lore. No matter where we've been, when we were on the overnights, Badlands Booker would come into the studio on the overnights and do hot dog eating with us. He crushed me in a challenge, sprayed Gatorade all over the place. He has absolutely destroyed me when I've eaten against him. Then we've had rally eating against him another year. When we worked evenings, he came in. We've done middays. He's gone down to the streets outside the studio to come in. Whenever we need Badlands Booker around this time, he is always there. He was on just a couple months ago when DA was still in, obviously, and discussed his venture into what would be the quarantine challenge. And here he is on the verge of another 4th of July. It's kind of like when you think the Super Bowl, you think of Tom Brady, right? Well, when you think Major League Eating, we personally always think of Badlands Booker sitting there with his shirt drenched, headphones on, ready to go, and he's with us today. Booker, what's going on? It's Sean, it's Andrew. DA's out, but we still wanted to have you on, man. I hope all is well.
Hey, Sean, what's good, man? Thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
Of course, man, of course. So before we get into maybe you on a personal level and your preparation for the contest. So this contest is going to look different. Obviously, everything in 2020 has looked different. From what I'm gathering here, there will be several mini contests to keep up with social distancing. So I think I misinterpreted this when I was going through the notes last night and Bogus kind of tipped me off to it. Instead of doing like you guys did with the quarantine challenge, you will be with other eaters in a private location?
Right, right. It's going to be like you know, instead of having like 15 people at the table, you know, we're going to have it, you know, at a, you know, at a secret location. There's going to be five eaters, you know, five for the women. You know, they get to eat first, like around 12:20, and then, you know, the men eat at 12:40. It's going to be, you know, five men, five women. And yeah, it's a little, bust down because of COVID. But, you know, we're just glad that it's still going on.
Yeah, and not to make light of the situation, but it's kind of cool that this is at a secret location. You guys are being snuck in and out. We don't know where it is. There's a little different intrigue to the event this year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I miss, you know, that it's not going to be like how we usually do, you know, an average of like 40,000 fans at the corner of Surface Stillwell, and, you know, we can eat and everybody's out there. They're doing my little rapping, you know, but, you know, we got to be safe. So, but I'm just glad it's going on. And, you know, the ingestion engine will be primed and ready in 2 days. 2 days, yeah.
Yeah, 2 days is incredible. It's something we always look forward to on the 4th of July. And Eric Badlands Booker with us on the show. So Booker, when it comes to this event, one of my favorite parts of it is obviously when George Shea grabs the mic and we do the introductions. And I think it loosens everybody up. It loosens the crowd up. And it's a lot of fun. You know, the little stats that get thrown in there, who's eating what, the nicknames that get thrown in there. Because we're doing this at a secret location, are we going to lose that part? Are we not going to get the introductions like we normally get?
Oh, no. George is going to be up there with the straw hat and the blazer doing what he does best. He's going to, you know, and maybe a little different because, you know, he's going to be there, you know, but he's going to bring the same intensity like there's 50,000 people in the, you know, in the stands, even though there's going to be no stands. But he's going to, but, you know, for the millions of people that's watching the ESPN, he's going to be doing that. And we're also, you know, this is the first this year we're releasing a music video for my intro. You know, me and George filmed it last night at Coney Island. It's going to be dope. I mean, I'm probably going to release it in about like a half hour. So, you know, I'll send you the link and, oh, man, it's going to be hot. It's going to be hot this year.
Now, what about actually competing? Do you think it's going to feel different, be weird, or are you going to miss like the motivation of the fans and the crowd and the atmosphere when you guys are eating inside almost alone on Saturday?
No, because we know that, you know, the ESPN crowd is global, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, millions of people are going to be watching at home. So we're going to bring the same intensity, you know, because, you know, even though we won't see the fans in front of us, we know that they're there because everyone's watching on ESPN. So it's going to be the same intensity. You know, we're going to bring it just like we usually do. And, you know, it's it's going to be a little different, but we're going to bring the same intensity because we know that, like I said, people are watching at home, and we're not going to let the fact that there's not no one there in front of us deter our drive. You know what I'm saying? So it's still all good. No worries.
So, Badlands, obviously you've seen me. I've eaten hot dogs against you in studio. I'm a portly fellow myself. But, when it comes to, my favorite athletes per team of all time, right? Like, my favorite Yankee of all time is Derek Jeter. My favorite Ranger of all time is Mark Messier. My favorite Major League eater of all time is you. And it was really great to be able to eat against you. So you know that on the show, we always are pulling for you. You're our guy. We have you on every year. You're a DA show favorite. Our listeners love you. But I cannot lie to you. There were a lot of listeners and myself, we were very disappointed with the amount of baloney and the time you were able to put down in the quarantine challenge. We were psyched when we had you on. You talked about how basically you were forgetting to have an Admiral's feast during the week, and then you came up short, and I'm very worried about that from perspective of not having fans in front of you because you were in your own home. And I do have to ask Booker, you're seeing obviously Joey Chestnut obviously do this, Gideon OG had his big numbers. Do you think maybe you need to rethink your strategy or something is awry to get you back in the upper echelon here and get you the motivation we need, because we need to see the best of Badlands Booker on Saturday?
Yeah, well, that was like a first for all of us, And I guess that's kind of like the training round, just to see how things is gonna going, during COVID situation. But I'm gonna do much better than I did during the quarantine challenge, okay? So I'm definitely used to, eating in that sort of sense now. So, there's not going to be no baloney repeats, okay? It's going to be on the fourth. No worries.
So I guess along those lines, people can bet on this for the first time ever this year, at least in New Jersey, I know you can. And I like the bet of the field. Not betting for Joey is a waste of money. I want to put some money on the field, whether it's you or somebody else. Convince me to actually put that money down because one of you guys can finally knock Joey off here.
Yeah, it's in the framework of competition, anything can happen, So it's like, Joey could have a bad day, Joey could, he could still have like, because you remember in the quarantine challenge, he had to like, he had a rough start, but then, he prevailed at the end. So you never know, that's the beauty of competitive eating. You never know what can go on, at a given time. So yeah, I feel free to place your bets. It's all good.
Badlands Booker is our guest here on the DA show. So a little bit of a follow-up to what I just asked you previously about obviously coming up short in the quarantine challenge and you saying, well, first of all, I love two quotes here you gave us. Number one, there ain't going to be no baloney repeat, and you guarantee
no
that
repeat.
You guarantee sort of Joe Namath-esque a much better performance than you put forth there. So then I must ask you as we lead up to this, you are probably a creature of habit. We know that there have been, in the days that have led up in past 4th of July eating contests, you've had no problem coming in and slinging a bunch of dogs down your throat and making a mess of the studio, and we love you for that. Have you thought about, and if you have thought about and have not, are you looking to change any of your days leading up to the contest strategies, I should ask you? And if you're not, have you at least thought about that, or is it just what's worked for you in the past, you're going to keep with what you've done?
Well, I'm gonna keep what worked for me in the past, and it's like what I have been doing is just put it in overdrive since we got the green light to go, So I'm just gonna come there hungry and focused, and just try to get my jaws open wider than usual, and just get those dogs down, I'm gonna bring the beats. I'm going to bring my four, tenants. I'm going to bring my stomach capacity, my strategy, my stamina and focus. I'm going to be hungry and focused on the fourth. So, you just got to see. Don't worry. No worries at all.
No worries for sure. So for people, though, that are not fully familiar with all this, what are the next 2 days like for you prepping for the actual competition Saturday?
Well, I'm going to do a lot of press and stuff and a lot of, you know, stuff for ESPN. But as far as on the eating side, right now I'm just going to start just doing like, you know, meal replacements, you know, saying eating like, you know, definitely no, nothing to eat, you know, on the morning of the 4th, you know, saying just probably drinking, you know, some orange juice, you know, just to keep, you know, my stamina up, but, you know, just trying to get empty and ready for the contest, you know, because, you know, I don't want to have nothing in the tank when I need to fill it up with hot dogs, okay? You know, it's just like, you know, when the light comes on in the car, you know what I'm saying? I want to be right where the light comes on, the gas light comes on, when I'm just about on E, so I can just go fill up, you know what I'm saying? You know, so on 12 noon or the 4th of July, I'm filling up the ingestion engine with some premium Nathan's hot dogs, and I'm going for the win. Or going for the personal best, actually.
All right, I like that. So, as Bogus mentioned earlier, I believe tomorrow we're going to have somebody on from DraftKings talking about all the odds here that goes with it, and Bogus is looking to maybe play the field. So, outside of you, who obviously we'll be rooting for, give us the eater you think besides you has the best chance of upsetting Joey Chestnut on Saturday.
Wow, there's a lot of good eaters coming. Okay, you got Nick Rary, who was pretty good, you know, and then you got George Chigger, who is good too, you know. But it's like, I think we may have to play a little, you know, get into Joey's head the night before or something. I don't know. but you know, we got some good eaters that's coming in. So, things are a little different, you know what I'm saying? And it can be anybody's game on the 4th. So you just have to, you know, stay tuned. But I know Nick Rary is good and George Chigger is good, you know, so we'll just see what happens.
How will we know that you're locked in, that you, things are going well for you Saturday? What is there a pace that we should keep an eye on, your body language? How are we going to know that you're feeling good and things are going well for you during this on Saturday?
When you see me eating to the beat, when you see me, you know, bobbing my head at about 100 beats per minute, you know what I'm saying? And it's just, you know, and I'm in a rhythm where it's just whatever's in the headphones going boom, boom, boom. And I'm translating to eat, 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 eat. And I start moving through the hot dogs. If I move through the hot dogs, if I get like I say about, you know, my first 10 hot dogs within the first minute, oh man, you know, I'm going straight to the moon. Okay. that's when you'll know.
Straight to the moon. All right, Booker. So one last one for me then. You talk about going to the beat and eating to the beat. I do have to ask, you just promoted that a little bit later today. You filmed a music video that's going to be coming out. That'll be your intro. You filmed it with George Shea. Can the listeners get a couple bars for the song that's going to be in the music video here? You got something for us?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I just want to let you know that, you know, I'm the baddest man from the Badlands. Last man standing in the last stand. The big man, filling fans, Mike in my right hand, out hand, left hands, waving to the fans. Oh, man, you just got to wait, and you got to see it. You got to see the video.
I love it. So where can we find the video? On any of your social media channels?
Yeah, it'll be on my Badlands Chugs, YouTube channel. It'll be on the Major League Eating's YouTube channel. And, you know, so, but, you know, I'll probably go release it in about a half hour on, you know, my YouTube channel, Badlands Chugs.
Badlands,
right up on there.
Badlands Chugs, music video coming out. We are rooting for Badlands Booker. We are almost 48 hours away from a private location, much like UFC's doing Fight Island. We're going to have the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest at a private location. It'll take place. It'll be the 4th of July. And Badlands Booker has absolutely vowed, you have vowed, there ain't going to be no baloney repeat. You guarantee a much better performance this time around. You are going to go
Most
at this
definitely.
And go after it. All right. So
Most
listen.
Definitely.
We are. We have the Nathan's obviously hot dog eating contest. They're going to feature an annual donation of 100,000 Nathan's Famous hot dogs to Food Bank for New York City. They're dedicated to raising funds for food banks and to raising awareness of food bank needs. Major League Eating and individual leaders will make donations to food banks and use the contest as a platform to highlight the work of this organization. Badlands, we know it's a great cause and also a great fun event every single year. It will look a little different. We're hoping by next year we're back to the corner of Surf and Stillwell, mm-hmm. but we're looking forward to the music video. Listen, you know you always have a place and a home here on this show, whether DA is in, he will be in the next time you're on this show, I'm sure, whether he's taken off and we're just here doing the show. Our fans love you, our listeners love you, so know that when we question maybe if you need to change a little something to get an edge, we want you to win. You're our guy. So let's go crunching and munching, Admiral's Feast, whatever you got to do to prep yourself. We need the best of you on Saturday.
Don't worry. I'm going to bring it. Okay, I'm bringing 110%, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm crunching, I'm munching, I'm going through those Nathan's hot dogs like nobody's business. And, oh, man, I'm going to come there hungry and focused. You best believe that.
All right, Badlands. Good luck on Saturday. Thanks for coming on, man.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate you always.
Take care. Eric Badlands Booker. All right. So, look, am I sitting down like I'm on 60 Minutes Bogus? No, but I think I got my point across the Badlands there that something needs to change. And I don't know that that's a Messier in 94. I don't know if that's a Namath ahead of Super Bowl III. But what we did get there is a, quote, ain't going to be no baloney repeat. Do you feel more confident in Badlands, or do you think he still doesn't get it following that interview?
No, I'm more confident in him for sure. I think as he said, like he needed the dry run of that initial quarantine challenge to kind of reset everything. So I think lesson learned. The problem though then is Joey Chestnut. So, you know, Badlands could still do his personal best. I mean, he could be peak Badlands on Saturday. But the way Chestnut rolls, it might not matter. So, like, that's the problem. Like, you can love Badlands, but do you love him enough? And can he get to the level where he actually can challenge Joey Chestnut here? Because no one's done it for more than a decade now.
Yeah, it's been a long decade. This is now that Tom Brady has left the Patriots, Joey Chestnut on top of the hot dog eating contest game is the best dynasty in the dynasty I think we're all sick of the most. So, look, Badlands Booker's our guy. I can only hope that he really takes this. I mean, he's got to take this seriously, Bo, because he's really got to take this seriously.
But on the other hand, how seriously can you take crunching and munching hot dogs in like a 10-minute window? I mean, like the whole thing is ludicrous at face value, which is why it's amazing. But yeah. At some point, you need to put your foot down and actually like prepare and have a strategy and do it. And I think he's learned his lesson. He's a competitor. I'm sure he was embarrassed by the quarantine challenge, and he's going to be better on Saturday.
And we will break it just a second, but I do have to just add, I have to admit, I didn't like the sound of him and Commissioner George Shea doing a music video yesterday. I don't think his head is focused. He keeps talking about hungry and focused and bogus. I just don't know how focused you could be if in 3 days before the contest you're so focused that you're filming a music video. I mean, can we just stop eating for 3 days and just get hungry and figure this out?
Maybe that's how he did it. Maybe he killed some time not eating by filming a music video.
I don't know. I don't like the sound of this at all. It sounds to me a lot like the Jaguars have to go to the AFC title game. Their priorities are all out of whack. And I think he's so focused on this music career that it's just, I mean, he's promoting the music video coming out. He's so focused on this video. I don't know. I don't know if the focus is going to be there. I'm worried. How many hot dogs will you have this weekend, Bogus?
Fair question. I could definitely have two a day starting tomorrow because that's the base amount. You can't just have one.
Sure.
But I only have one like actual set of plans, and that's on Saturday. And I don't know the actual the full on menu. Now we had considered eating hot dogs during our conversation with Badlands last week. And then completely forgot until now.
Typical.
And I said that to you like in the break before, I'm like, hey, remember we were going to have hot dogs. And at the moment, there's nothing I wanted less than a hot dog. And this was 22 minutes ago. Now I want hot dogs.
I absolutely do. I think that will be my lunch maneuver as well. I'm big. I heard Amy on After Hours right beforehand. She was reading stuff on hot dog toppings, I guess, with, you know, the tweets, what's your best hot dog topping? And she had said that she had never heard, I believe this is the quote, of coleslaw on a hot dog, where that, to me, Bogus, is actually my favorite thing to put on a hot dog. And I can't believe, do people not do people not know about that? Not do that? Cold, forget the relish and the pickles. That the cold mayo vinegar based coleslaw is the best on a dog. I could go for two hot dogs of coleslaw on top of it right now.
Well, I said this to you guys. I forget. I don't remember what. Oh, I think we were discussing Reubens and variations of Reubens, and I said that coleslaw is to me the most underrated condiment going. It's great on any sandwich, a hot dog as well. I feel like though that it, the hot dog thing might be newish, so I want to give her a pass on that one. I don't know that everybody like that seems to. I've had that at like fancy hot dog shops. Like I don't know if that's like you're not getting that at a ball game. So like, you need to have gone to a place that makes.
Shops.
Yeah, there's like fancy gourmet like hot dog and sausage shops. No. Absolutely. There was a great one next to Barclays Center in Brooklyn that no longer exists, which is sad.
I love kielbasa.
How great could it be? You know, one thing I never understood about the hot dog itself, right? Whenever we think of the summer, we think of hot dogs and hamburgers. Why is it? Except for maybe like a Sonic does this. I know like there's a place in on Long Island called All American that does it. But why is it that like your base famous fast food places don't offer hot dogs? I'm talking your McDonald's, your BK's, your Wendy's. Wouldn't that always be something if you already offer hamburgers? Shouldn't hot dogs go hand in hand with that?
I mean, and they just spin on those little grills so that they're almost no main. You just throw them on. They just stay there for forever. It's a fair question. I wonder if when all those places started, they were just like, listen, we're not going to bother with Nathan's. Like, Nathan's has figured this out.
That's a good point.
And that's Nathan's thing, and we're leaving it alone. There's a couple of other, you know, well-known hot dog chains, and they just thought that was their domain. We're doing hamburgers. They've obviously sprinkled in some chicken and fish after that. You know, and don't forget, too, there's some weird, not weird, but, like, we live in one part of the country. In other part of the countries, like McDonald's has things that we would never expect them to have here. Mustard. Like McDonald's has like fajitas sometimes. Like there's random stuff that they sprinkle in. So maybe somewhere one of those places has hot dogs, but I've never seen it. And it makes sense. I mean, why would you mess with the perfection that is Nathan's?
Well, I hate to get too much down the hot dog drain here, but all I would say is Nathan's hot dog is great. But, I mean, Bogish, let's face it, there are a lot of hefty men in America, and I guess there are hefty females as well in America, that when they roll up to the old drive-thru, right, and it doesn't matter what drive-thru you're going to, because I'm not going to discriminate. I love them all, right? It depends what I'm in a hankering for. But I will always pivot. It's almost like a quarterback drops back. He has his, obviously, his number one and number two options, but then eventually he's got to dump it off to the running back, the fullback, maybe a tight end in the flat. That's how I am when I pull up to a drive-thru, and I do not have the ability to just order, hey, straight up, here's whatever meal I'm ordering that comes with French fries and drink, and then not add something to that. I don't have the willpower to do that. The invention of the dollar menus or the 99-cent menus and all these were a downfall to me because I always looked at it as like that was going to be my treat for the ride home. And if you're to tell me that for $1.50, $1.50, I could get some kind of dog at one of these places, I'm going to go dog. I'm going to get a hot dog anytime. And there's a lot of fatties like me, both male and female, that would absolutely do that. And I think they're missing the market on cheap dogs.
Yeah, you know, I'm not surprised that you would prefer a cheap dong at some point during the day just to add on to the meal. I mean, and it is
I mean,
as always,
bogus $1.50 dong, little ketchup packet, and just
you
push
gotta
it
do
right
it.
Down your throat.
Right, whether you like it or not, you got to do it. And I get your point, but it's funny to me that like the treat of like say Wendy's is adding on a hot dog, not the treat of the Baconator. And the bacon fries and like the large Coke that needs to be topped off by a treat of a hot dog, preferably with some coleslaw as my reward on my way home from my healthy dinner.
If you show me the person in America that goes to a Wendy's, let's say, and doesn't after their meal say, you know what, give me a junior bacon cheeseburger, or goes to a McDonald's and goes, you know what, don't give me the snack wrap, or goes to a Burger King and goes, you know what, I already got fries, but don't give me the onion rings. And I will show you somebody who's frankly just un-American. We talk about a lot of what's American and what's not. You always get the extra item. And if dongs are on the menu, I'm going to dong away. I'm sorry. So that's where I would stand. And with that,
give
Bogish,
me a couple dongs more, right in my throat.
I love it. And with that, I think we should get to your headlines. The NFL is still... I mean, when you go up, you go down, you go around. We have done this thing when it comes to fans and stadiums and that question mark over the past couple of weeks. And look, we have seen the people on Twitter, Peter Schwartz, talk about why can't there be fans if they wear masks. There is going to be people in this country who feel comfortable going to a game. There are going to be people who don't feel comfortable going to a game. And I think whatever mindset you have is fine by me. I think me and Pete both declared on the air about a month ago when DA asked, would you go to a game today? And I think we both said yes. I personally would be more weary of that today, if I'm being transparent. I think I go back and forth in this because of obviously the rise in case numbers and such than I was a month ago. But I don't ultimately know. Bogus, you vehemently said no. DA said no as well. And I'm sure you guys have stuck that way. The NFL, unless I'm speaking for you, I assume you still would not go to a game.
Correct.
Okay. Well, the NFL now, on a day where they are attempting to semi-announce, even though they have to get the union's approval, they will cut the preseason from 4 to 2 games, obviously, because they don't assume fans are going to be there. They have already announced they are tarping off the first few rows of every stadium to put advertisements out there. Again, another sign they're not expecting too many fans. Now a report leaks that they may be asking fans to sign a waiver, a consent waiver, before walking into a stadium because basically they don't want to get sued. If somebody gets coronavirus very badly, to the point they're hospitalized, we hope this doesn't happen, you know, ventilators, hospital bills, you know, the worst of the worst, I don't even want to mention could happen. They want you to sign a waiver. And I read this story yesterday, Bogish, and I tried to be as fair about this and kind of look at it from both angles as fair as possible. Number one, the way I looked at it in one regard is, all right, well, I don't blame the NFL because if they do want fans in there, I guess without a vaccine, the only way to do that would be you want no liability, so you should sign a waiver, just like you would before you go bungee jumping or something like that. But all of those things that you would dare sign a waiver before doing are very scary practices. It is what I keep coming back to. And if the NFL is sliding a waiver in front of me, like they are the agency ahead of the event that I'm supposed to go to. When I buy an NFL ticket, I expect that I'll be able to go in the parking lot, you know, grill my hot dogs, have a good time, go in, chant defense, get loud on third down, and more or less, unless I get way too drunk and stupid, which I've never done, and I get into a fight, that's my own problem, you should be able to come and go from a football game pretty safely. And if I am being slid a waiver, and I had that thought of going to a game, and like, perfect example, my wife's 30th birthday falls on September 19th, and she has said for, like, 5 years now, her favorite city on earth is Chicago. And she said, my 30th birthday, I want to go to Chicago. I said, all right, we'll try to make it work. Obviously, that right now does not look like it would happen. And it just so happened this year, Bogus, that the New York Giants played the Chicago Bears in Chicago on September 20th. It was almost like, wow, how incredible would this be if fans were allowed, because that's where you wanted to go for your 30th. We could make it a giant road trip. I get something out of it. You get what you want out of it, of course, because it can't just be your 30th. I got to make something out of it. And even if we were thinking about going, if we get tickets and outside Soldier Field, I got to sign a waiver, I would feel very queasy about that, very, very weary. And I would love everybody's thoughts at 855-212-4227. If you were in that line of thinking, and that number again is 855-212-4CBS, or your tweets, at MrazCBS, at Andrew Bogish. If you were pro, hey, I don't care, I'm tougher than the virus, I'll go to a game. Like, if you're in that mindset, and they're putting a waiver in front of you, doesn't that make you stop and hesitate? Wouldn't that do that for you, Bogish?
I mean, it should. It absolutely did for me. I mean, and again, I wasn't going in the first place. I don't know about other stadiums and other football cities around the country, but the process of me getting to MetLife to see a Giants game
right
completely negates the effort of, like, the enjoyment of being at the Giants game. So, like, I haven't gone to a game as a fan, and I don't even remember the last time. So that being said, so I'm not necessarily the target audience for this. And I know that on the back of your ticket, you know, there are things that you acknowledge could happen to you, like getting hit by a bat or a foul ball at a baseball game. But, like, this is different. And we've never, as far as I can remember, had to sign anything like this before going into a game where I could sit next to somebody who could give me some kind of disease or infection that I don't want. Like, you know, you don't do this during flu season. And I'm also not a lawyer, but like my thought is like possibly asking people to sign this means that maybe they shouldn't be there in the first place, right? Like if it was safe and we had crossed all our T's, dotted all our I's, had everything in place, and it was safe to go to the game, I wouldn't need you to sign something. But if I'm asking you to sign something, that to me means that like I'm not sure that everything is the way and where it's supposed to be. So there's no chance that if I was thinking about going to a game, this would absolutely make up my mind that I'm not going if going includes signing away my rights over this.
And that's why I just can't imagine and envision, I know this is a report, that this ends up being the case because, well, you just mentioned lawyers for a second. How legal is the document you're signing before you enter a stadium? And I guess how is that, or how would you organize that? Let's say, right? You buy a ticket. Is it when you buy the ticket you have to sign that? Well, then what does that mean if you wake up, you're sick that day and you can't go and you hand the ticket to somebody you know? Do they have to get to the stadium? Are we standing on longer security lines to get in the stadium? Because one by one, on top of everybody taking your temperature, you're now signing a piece of paper that then gets filed somewhere. I have so many questions on how that would even work realistically, but the idea that the NFL, from a PR standpoint, can plant its flag and go, okay, we're playing, we're going without a hitch, and look, guys, fans are absolutely coming into the building, but we just need you to sign a waiver. How, if you're Roger Goodell or NFL owners, do you not face the questions as, well, if you guys feel it's so safe to come in, why have the waiver? So I can't imagine this happening because, to me, that seems like a PR disaster.
And even showing, like, again, like a baseball ticket, it is its own waiver in terms of getting hit by a bat and a ball. But yet we've had these unfortunate situations of people getting hit and very badly hurt. Like there still are lawsuits. So like that ticket doesn't fully absolve teams from any liability and whatnot. So I don't even know how this would work in actual practice, but it is a report and it really is an idea. Like I don't even know that they have a specific proposal in place to show to teams, but maybe it's coming next week. So like they might not even have answers to questions that we're asking right now. But so to me it's about looking at it at face value and the fact that this could be necessary or they think it's necessary scares me away from games. And I'm doing DA's two sports minutes today and he already did a Sandlot one, so I can't do that today. One of them is on this, and like, how about we just, and I know people want to go to games, I get that, and I know that the teams and the leagues need people there, but like, let's do this in stages, right? Like, let's get the game itself as close to perfectly safe as possible. Let's make sure players can play, coaches can coach, the referees are fine, the people that we need on site to make the game happen, let's lock them into safety first. And once we know that that works, then we can think about fans. And we should only let them in when we don't need them to give us any extra legal wiggle room on what might happen to them when they come inside my stadium for a football game.
So I agree with you wholeheartedly, and you brought up a good point about, you know, being a process to get to a stadium. The fact remains when it comes to professional sports and yes, collegiate sports in this country, that as far as sports fans go, there are far more sports fans that go to one or two games a year than go to almost every game a year with season tickets. The season ticket holders are obviously the lifeblood for so many of these teams and leagues, but in essence, they are still an extreme minority of the fan bases for these leagues and teams, for people that can afford to go with season tickets. So I kind of look at this and I try to take a step back. Would I love for everything to be normal and me to be at Yankee Stadium this summer? Of course. Would I love to take my normal Giant road trip and go watch some NFL football on the road this fall? Of course. But what I would love most is for the games themselves just to be played. So like you just said, with stages. So if it means we have to make sure the players are safe, and let's see how that goes before we're figuring out fan situations, I completely agree, especially if you're getting to the point where you have to sign waivers. And I think the best way to look at this, if you're one of these people pounding your fist on the table going, I need to go to a game. I don't know why I can't just go to a game. If we're wearing masks, why can't I just wear a mask at a game? Look, I understand that whole argument, but think about this realistically. Unless you are one of those season ticket holders where that's just so part of your life where you can't get a grip on reality, if you're one of these people that just goes to your 1-2 games a year anyway, just you spend most of the games you watch on TV anyway. Just continue to watch those. And you don't go to 1 or 2 games and be thankful that we have the sports on TV. And from an NFL perspective, look, it's an ever-changing process. It's an ever-evolving. There are people way smarter, obviously, than me, way smarter than Bogus, although he's really smart, way smarter than you out there listening, that are scientists, that are doctors, that are working hard, working round the clock, that we're probably taking for granted right now on medications and vaccines that we keep getting updates on, but in reality, there's no way to know. You're never going to know something's done until it's done. We could say we're expecting this done by this date, but until it's done, until it's safe, the way everything has been targeted and the way, even though there's no guarantees that you hear guys like Dr. Fauci come on TV talk about, there is a chance, I don't know how great a chance, that a vaccine is available, and who knows how widely available it would be, by the end of the year. And by the end of the year, if that is best case scenario and that happens, the NFL season is still going on. So just because we start the season here in August, Bogus, or September, also doesn't mean that all these NFL fans pounding their chest going, I need to sign a waiver, I need to get in. You still may be able to have that opportunity in December, or dare I say the playoffs in January. Like, that is still out there for now because this thing changes every day. So I would caution anybody when you see this waiver story to take that as a major alarm and a major red flag that maybe in our quest for wanting sports back so badly, we just need to pump the brakes on the going to the game aspect and just focus on making sure if you're in a bubble that the players are safe, if they're not like baseball and traveling around, that we just get these games going off and treat it like a TV sport until it's safe enough where we don't need waivers to go to games.
Yeah, and you know, like if you need to go to a game that badly, or you're worried about, you know, like worried about teams and survival and whatever, like send a team $50, say, here you go, instead of buying a ticket, here's some money, and just do the, you know, and like create a fund or so. Like there's other options here, and I know how badly folks want to go to games. I think A, they just want to go to games, but B, it's going to make them feel like things are okay and getting back to normal, like it's bigger than just attending the game. But like, you can't live though in that disconnect where I want to do this, I want to do that, but I'm also not listening to the ways that maybe can get us there. Like, I'm deciding on my own what I should do and what I shouldn't do. And there's always room for personal decisions, don't get me wrong. But, like, there seems to be, at least when I see it, there's a lot of overlap in people who think that restaurants being closed and wearing a mask is stupid, but also are demanding to be able to go to a football game in a couple of months, not understanding that those things are all connected, that, like, to get to your goal, you need to listen to people who know more than we right. do about how these things work, or at least acknowledge that certain measures are working in certain places. So maybe I should try and listen to them here. So, and it's not to be like too soapboxy, but like we all want this to be over with. This is how we started the show. Like we all want this to be done. And the specific act of going to a game is just not that important. It really right. isn't just to be there. So, like, do the little things here and there. If everyone does the little things in their own neck of the woods, then maybe as a group, as a country, we can get to a place where then you can go to your game. Like you said, maybe it's not September. Maybe it's not Labor Day weekend, but maybe it's Halloween or Thanksgiving, or maybe it's just in time for the playoffs. Who knows? But, like, to just have this tunnel vision, like, I got to go to a game, is probably counterproductive in the end.
I would agree. Your thoughts at 855-212-4227. The number again is 855-212-4CBS. Tweets at MirazCBS, at Andrew Bogish as well. When we come back, the NHL bubble plan seems to be stiff-arming the U.S. of A., but does that give them the best chance for finishing their season? We'll discuss next. It's Bogish, it's Miraz, it's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. All right, well, Bogus, the NHL now, after hearing for weeks that Las Vegas would be one of the hub cities picked, and we were basically waiting for the other hub city to be picked, it seems like the NHL is reversing course with rising, obviously, positive tests all throughout the country and in Nevada, that the NHL's been a little spooked here, and I guess in many ways they get the benefit of what the NBA didn't. It's kind of funny looking back, because remember the argument that you and I, and then it really became you and truly versus DA, where who was going to be the first to come back, or who should be considered the first to come back. And you and I both the point, it was the NHL. They had a press conference with Gary Bettman. They announced the format. They announced everything. Sure, there was dotting of the I's and crossing of the T's, which is still going on, by the way, with NHL players. But ultimately, they had their plan. They were out there. They made it public. They felt confident enough to have Gary Bettman in front of TV. And DA wanted to argue the point. No, the NBA announced Orlando. They are the first. Now, it's probably not fair to have DA not here to rain on it, but we could all agree, me and you were right on this. The NHL was the first to come back. But the one thing DA crushed them for was not having their hub cities picked. Said, well, they don't even have their location picked. And our point was, well, they have so many choices that it's actually a good thing for them, and we're punishing them for not being the first to back because they didn't just settle in and focus in on Orlando. And in many ways, Bogus, because of that at its core, the NHL, I think, is benefiting here because now we're looking at what's going on in Florida. You're already seeing what's going on with FC Dallas down in the MLS, and you're like, wow, the NHL not being locked into a city is actually going to help them. So now it says they are eyeing, or the league says they are eyeing Toronto and Edmonton, both Canadian cities. One of the major issues is obviously the spike in corona cases in Nevada and in the U.S. as a whole. And another benefit is operating there instead of Las Vegas, which could be very expensive, meals, hotels, and all of this, will be cheaper for the league, which, of course, if you're a boss operating at a cheaper cost, is always better. But the NHL, I think, is a major winner that they didn't have it locked in where they would be where the NBA is now, because I don't know about you, Bogus, I see this news yesterday, and I see Toronto and Edmonton, and I see the reasons for it, and I feel very, very confident. And maybe that's the wrong word to use, because maybe you shouldn't be very confident about anything. I feel very confident that if I were to pick of the three leagues that we know are coming back right now, baseball, hockey, and basketball, that hockey will finish its season where the others, I just don't know, based on travel for baseball and based on what's going on in Florida right now with corona for the NBA.
Yeah, I still have my questions, I guess, about hockey not really completely having a bubble. Like, I still don't know all of the details, like where everyone's going to be, how actually, like, quarantined and isolated they're going to be. But, and don't forget too, Sean, that, like, this began with the possibility of not being in Canada at all because right. they had, you know, the border was closed. You had a quarantine going into Canada. I mean, the Raptors are already in Florida to avoid the possibility of any issues crossing the border between us and them. And the Blue Jays, I think, still don't have full approval just yet to play in Toronto. They're going to get in. They're apparently going to live in the hotel connected to Rogers Center, which makes a lot of sense too. But for a while, like, Canada was the problem in this, you know, in a number one of, or in more than one of these leagues. Now they're the escape hatch. They're the place to go where it's safer. And this, I don't know if the NHL is going slowly to see, like, for this exact reason, or they were just going slow because they had time on their hands and they knew they had options, and no matter what, they would have places to go to. But, like, this makes them, no matter what, they, like you said, they're now in the best spot because they've been able to find what appears to be the best spot to get their guys to and then play hockey relatively safely.
Yes, and again, as you pointed out, we don't know as far as how strict the bubble is. Are there, you know, going to be restaurants in Toronto and Edmonton for these guys to go out to? Can you trust the players? Will they find a, I don't even know. I'd be lying to you if I knew the ins and outs of Edmonton's bars. Like, are they open the way Texas is? Are they completely shut down? I really don't know the answer to that. But I do know that when I look at plenty of graphs of positive tests between countries, I see the U.S. very much on a climb, and I don't really see the same thing from Canada right now. So I think, you know, this being played in two cities in Canada is a win for the U.S. and for the NHL. I'm sorry, not for the U.S. And I would also say for, I saw, again, I keep referencing Twitter, and maybe that's my crutch today, what I saw on Twitter. There were some fans kind of with some pushback, like, oh, the NHL, we're no good for you here. You're just going to play in Canada. Well, no fans are going to this anyway, and it's just a bubble format, and we're only watching on TV. What the heck does it matter if the ice they're skating on is in Toronto or is if it's in Las Vegas? To me, it doesn't matter one lick. It's going to all look the same on TV anyway. So from a fan's perspective, this should have zero impact on whether you watch the NHL or care about it enough to watch it where they're actually playing the games. This is about how we take care of the players and make sure they're as safe as possible.
Right, and you couldn't go anyway, so who cares if it's farther away or in a different country than where you are right now? You weren't going to those games no matter what. And again, if you're mad that the NHL chose Canada because Canada made more sense than America, the people that you should be mad about that are not Gary Bettman and the NHLPA. It's the people that are in charge on a number of different levels that have maybe let things happen the way they like. Be mad at them that somehow what you thought was important, hockey finishing in at least one American city, can't happen. Not because of hot in the NHL or the PA, it's because maybe we made a couple of missteps in reopening places.
Right, and also, by the way, I mean, you would think I would be the one to not understand this. This isn't going to play in Europe right now. Like, the time zones of Toronto and Edmonton are what we're very comfortable with here. Your games are going to be played at your normal times, your normal, you know, windows, whatever the NHL's planning to do. The hockey will look the way it would have looked in Vegas anyway. But I am a lot more confident today in the NHL making sure we crown a Stanley Cup champion than I am the NBA crowning an NBA Finals champion. And maybe that'll change in a month because the virus has changed, the world has changed, and you know, who knows what's good in Canada right now. May not be good in a month. You hope not, but everything's changing. But as it stands today, I feel pretty confident to an extent that the NHL is going to find a way to crown a champion, and they're doing the right thing and picking two Canadian cities.
Although I guess for us, and this really, you know, why not be selfish because we matter more than anything else, this does mean that our Rangers are going to Edmonton, though. They can't go to Toronto because Toronto can't have the Leafs. So the entire Eastern Conference then needs to go to the Western city. So I hope we don't have a Ranger game starting at 10 Eastern time. If they're like the end game of a triple header, if I have to go to sleep before they play one of these games, I'm not going to be the happiest guy.
I don't think they will do that because I also don't think that the times in the arenas matter all that much as far as I think you could start a game for Western Conference fans back home in Toronto at 9:30 Eastern, at 10 Eastern. I mean, the NBA is doing that in Orlando where you're getting that Laker-Clipper game at 9:30 p.m. So I think they're still going to target the audiences in which they think will be watching the games more than where the games are played. Now, they may make for some messed up sleep one way or another, but ultimately I don't think that'll be a problem, Bogus. I really don't. And frankly, if they do, if we get a Ranger playoff game at 10 p.m. Eastern, I'm pulling an all-nighter right into the show, and I'll be real loopy because I'm not falling asleep. I'm not missing that. I've waited a long time. I guess I'll let you know what happens in the morning. When we come back, we do have advanced analytics. Will Badlands Booker be motivated to win the 4th of July contest, plus an epic fail? Badlands, is he a little too focused on the rap music right now and not winning a hot dog eating contest? We got a lot of Badlands, a lot going on in the final segment of the show. It's the DA Show with Bogus and Mraz on CBS Sports Radio.
There's not going to be no baloney repeats, okay?
Will Mraz motivate Badlands Booker to win the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest? Bogus, 83.3% voted no. 16.7% voted yes. The crowd is turned on Booker. They just have. Yeah. The confidence is shot. The expectations are at an all-time low. I believe we're going to have somebody on from DraftKings tomorrow on the betting involved with this Nathan's Hot Dog Eating. We might have to ask about Badlands Booker specifically, but no, everybody's off the wagon. I mean, nobody believes in this guy. And a little deep dive in analytics. Booker has had some fantastic accomplishments in his life. He has eaten 15 Qdoba burritos in 8 minutes, Bogus. He has eaten 2 pounds of chocolate candy bars in 6 minutes. In 6 minutes, this is back in 2004, by the way, he had 16 and a half cannolis in 6 minutes. That's a lot with that cheese. He's also eaten 4 pounds of corned beef hash in a minute 58 seconds. He's had 49 glazed donuts in 8 minutes. Think about how gross that is. He's had 21 baseball-sized half-pound matzo balls in 5 minutes and 25 seconds. That back in 2003. He's also eaten 9.5 one-pound bowls of peas in 12 minutes. I mean, look, Booker has had some moments. A lot of these moments are 2003, 2004. I'm starting to wonder if, like Vince Carter, he's just hanging on a little too long. He is 51 years of age. If he's now more of a compiler, he seems very motivated by his rap career, his hip-hop career. I'm worried about Booker on Saturday. I am. It's a guy we pull for, but it seems like his preparation is all over the map. And Bogus, as you alluded to earlier, you would vote no as well. You do not think he will be now more motivated after this interview to go find a way to win this thing.
Right, and I want to put it on two people, neither of which are you. You did your job, and I've been on the end, I've been on the receiving end of your career advice, so I know how powerful and meaningful those words are. So you did your job here with Badlands. I don't know that he will then take those quality words and that coaching and that inspiration from you into Saturday. And even if he does, again, then he runs into the other person, and that's Joey Chestnut. I don't know that peak Badlands has the ability to beat peak Joey Chestnut. It's about Joey opening up the door to lose. Maybe that's how somebody else goes through it. But yeah, I don't think Badlands can figure this out in time. But for Saturday,
coverage begins 12 o'clock on Saturday. The Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Where will Badlands Booker finish? I'm sure we'll have to get into that at some point next week. Although I'm off next week, so I guess I'll be absolved from having to discuss Badlands Booker's failures next week. All right, it is time for our epic fail of the day. We mentioned Badlands Booker on the show earlier. Man, Badlands had some answers in this interview where it just seemed like his focus was on the wrong part of his career, not the eating part of his career. It's just epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
How will we know that you're locked in, that you, things are going well for you Saturday? What is there a pace that we should keep an eye on? Your body language? How are we going to know that you're feeling good and things are going well for you during this on Saturday?
Focus. Speed. I am speed.
When you see me eating to the beat, when you see me, you know, bobbing my head at about, you know, about 100 beats per minute, you know what I'm saying? And it's just, you know, and I'm in a rhythm where it's just whatever's in the headphones going boom, boom, boom.
Gotta get that. Gotta get that.
And I'm translating to eat.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
And I start moving through the hot dogs. If I move through the hot dogs, if I get like I say about, you know, my first 10 hot dogs within the first minute, oh man, you know, I'm going straight to the moon, okay? that's when you'll know.
You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
I do have to ask, you just promoted that a little bit later today. You filmed a music video that's going to be coming out. That'll be your intro. You filmed it with George Shea. Can the listeners get a couple bars for the song that's going to be in the music video here? Can you got something for us?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I just want to let you know that, I'm the baddest man from the Badlands. Last man standing in the last stand. The big man, feeling fans. Mic in my right hand. Out hands, out left hands. Waiting to the fans. Oh, man. You just got to wait and you got to see it.
It sounds to me a lot like the Jaguars have to go to the AFC title game. Their priorities are all out of whack. And I think he's so focused on his music career that it's just, I mean, he's promoting the music video coming out. He's so focused on this video. I don't know if the focus is going to be there. I'm worried.
I don't know. I have a bad feeling about this.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Bogues, I'm going to go out on a limb and go Badlands does not win a Grammy after this music video, or even at the least a VMA. That's just, I think that's the safest bet around Badlands Booker as we approach Saturday.
Yeah, that I can 100% get on board. It's better than I could do, but it is not, it's not much better than that. And I want to say don't quit your day job, but the day job hasn't been going that well recently either. So what... We got to help our buddy out here, something, right?
To the fans. Oh, man.
He's just piecing something together. Real quickly, because we never paid this off, Rick Pitino has suggested that college basketball, college hoops, is going to start in January as opposed to its normal November. and go with just a conference schedule. And Bogus, I have a feeling we're in agreement that this is the right thing to do. Push this thing to January. Look, with all due respect, nobody cares about college basketball in November and December. The conference season is where we begin to care anyway. And ultimately, this is about protecting the cash cow that is the NCAA tournament. Nobody wants to see that tournament lost for a second year in a row, especially the networks, especially the NCAA. So if the best way to get make sure that we have that March Madness is to not fool around in November and December with games that frankly just aren't going to matter anyway unless you're really filling out that bubble and maybe only John Rothstein cares, Bogus. I think this would be a smart play for college hoops to go right to January.
Yeah, I mean, I care a little bit. I do probably when push comes to shove. I mean, I like college basketball more than college football. I'm a basketball guy over a football guy. So like I like those early season non-conference showdowns. So I would miss those, but of course it makes plenty of sense to hit the pause button. Let that whole fall semester go by. Give us more time to figure things out. Get to January when maybe the stage is even more yours than normal and play your conference games and we go from there. Because like you said, the point is having March Madness again. That we would all miss. So let's make sure we get it this year.
Yeah, and I also would wonder, now coaching Iona, if Rick Pitino is even aware of who's in his conference as he approaches conference play with Iona in January.
What I would say is he is in a position, though, where he does theoretically need those non-conference games. He could use a win or two against a big-name team to help his resume inside and outside the MAC. So, like, his level of coaches needs those early season games more than, say, Duke or North Carolina. So I think his sentiment maybe has a little more weight than some others. But no matter what, it seems the right thing to do, and I think we're gonna get some form of that, at least not starting in the middle of November like normal.
That will do it. This has been a fun DA show. Remember, you can catch the DA show again tomorrow morning with Bogus and myself, and honestly, who knows what's going to ensue as we head into the 4th of July holiday. A good show today. The Wizard of Watch, D'Angelo Kaplan, bowed out, but we had James Boccioni producing the show today. We had Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel, making sure we broke on time today. Bogus, thank you. It's been a treat. Bogus and I will be back tomorrow. Thanks to Eric Badlands Booker, the Mothership Disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.